going to be reading beginning out of John chapter 6 this morning, looking at a number of other passages as well, but John chapter 6 is where I will begin. There's two words that stand out to me that are involved with the gospel. I use these words fairly often in talking, or at least a root word of these two words. And I want to talk about them this morning. Two words that are involved with the gospel message. The first one is sufficiency, and the second one is efficacy. Maybe you don't know or remember me using that particular word, but you have heard me say efficacious. They have the same meaning, the same root meaning. Sufficiency and efficacy. Would you bow your head with me as we seek the Lord's anointing, His special touch today? Father, we're thankful for the service this morning. Thank you for the amazing grace that you provide. Through the toils and the trials, the troubles come thus far, we can say with another songwriter that you have brought us. That it's up to this point you have given and been there, provided for us. The reality that you know us and you're aware of our need today. I pray, Lord, that you would saturate this place and the atmosphere with your divine anointing and presence as we open up your word. Pray, Lord, that you would speak through your unworthy servant today, speaking to each of our hearts as we open ourselves up for your voice. I pray these things in Jesus' name and for your touch. Amen. Sufficiency. The dictionaries tell me that the word sufficiency means to meet one's need. Sufficient to meet one's need. Competency. The quality or state of being sufficient. Another one-word definition or description of the word sufficiency that comes from the dictionary is adequacy. Probably familiar with these words, though you probably don't use them on a daily basis. And when you're telling the gospel story to somebody else, you're witnessing to somebody, you're sharing your story, you probably don't use these words either. But sufficiency, competency, adequacy. Sufficient. The description or the definition of the word sufficient is enough to meet the needs of a situation or a proposed end. Enough to meet the needs of a situation or a proposed end. Let me give a little bit of a diversion here. Sufficient. A description of the word sufficient or of the way to think about sufficiency can be found in the statement that people say that there's more month than money. You've heard that said. Maybe you've said it before. But the picture that is painted in these words is that there is sufficient provisions for the month. Last week you heard from a young fellow that was preaching here, and he commented that he ran out of gas twice, 2 days in a row, I think he said. Or maybe it was ran out one day and almost ran out the next day. There wasn't sufficient gas in the tank to do what he planned to do. But the picture that we want to paint this morning in this word sufficiency is that there are enough provisions. sufficiency. The other one is efficacy or efficacious. They both have the same meaning, and the meaning is having the power to produce a desired effect. Another word that would fall under that efficacious description would be efficient. Now, if you've been around buying a furnace in recent years, some kind of a gas or oil furnace, there's probably an efficiency rating on that furnace. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know that when I was a kid, I believe anyway, that if you bought a furnace that was 80% efficient, you were getting a good furnace. But now, you don't want a furnace unless it's 90-some percent efficient. Meaning, I believe that it's burning and using the fuel at a higher rate of efficiency and less waste going out the chimney or the exhaust. When I'm looking at this word in the realm of God's prevenient grace or his provisions, that it is efficient to be productive to a desired effect, having the power to produce a desired effect. Efficacious, efficient, effective. That may be more along our line of thinking, the word effective, successful in producing a desired or intended result. Sufficiency and efficacy. Let's look at the word sufficiency out of the scriptures and try to come to an understanding of what that could possibly mean in the subject or involving the subject of God's grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 6, verse number 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient. Catch that word. 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." Now, we don't find the word sufficient here in his next statement, but it's there in the undertow of the statement when he said, "But what are they among so many?" Going along with the insufficiency that Philip was talking about in verse number 7. Jesus said, you know, they're going through their mind that this is insufficient. There is not enough here. There is not enough here. But Jesus said, now, before I get to what Jesus said, let me remind you that the devil wants you to be lost in the insufficiency. The devil wants you to be attracted to the insufficiency. The devil wants to insert the insufficiency of the human side of things and ignore the sufficiency of the divine side of things. Doesn't matter what your problems are or what your circumstances are or how deep into sin somebody goes when we're talking about the gospel, we have to understand that the person that is involved with the sin may feel that they are greater than what the blood of Jesus Christ is able to work and to cover. And so we see that Philip is giving that kind of a depiction and Andrew is giving that kind of a depiction in the circumstance of this multitude of people. Both of them are expressing the insufficiency of funds and the insufficiency of provisions. But let me remind you, Jesus said. Jesus said in this particular story, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. You know what the end of that story is, don't you? They had enough fragments left over to fill multiple baskets for that little lad to take back home with him. So the question then stands out here. When Philip said they were insufficient monies, and Andrew says that there are insufficient provisions, Jesus said, and the end result was an overwhelming, overwhelming reality of sufficiency. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this is a story that we probably all have pointed to sometime in our lives spiritually. We've asked the Lord for some things and we've begged the Lord for some things. Well, Paul was just like that, and I'm glad he records this passage for us. Because it does give to us the reality of how grand or how broad the spectrum is of God's provisions. Now, whatever it was that Paul's talking about, it was probably rather insignificant, but it still was Paul's problem, just like it is your problem, however big or small. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Can you see Paul pleading with God to take it away? Maybe because Paul thought for sure that if he didn't have it, he could be more effective in his ministry. Although he recognized, at least when he was writing this, that this thorn in the flesh was a benefit to him spiritually. And so he's asked the Lord three times that it might depart, but Jesus said unto me. Now, Paul doesn't record the name of Jesus here, but that's who he's speaking about. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, I've given you two different passages of Scripture here with two different contexts, two differing contexts. Actually, they're vastly differing contexts. But the Greek word that is translated in both of these passages to the English word that we have read, sufficient, is the same Greek word. And that Greek word that is translated to our sufficient simply means to be enough. To be enough. Did you get that? Do you get that? To be enough. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. What are we saying here? What is he saying here? What are we reading here? We are reading here, according to the subject this morning, we are reading here really that he's saying that the blood of bulls and goats are insufficient to take away sins. There's an insufficiency with the blood of boys. Now, they sacrifice. They shed all kinds of blood. Multiple gallons of blood every year was shed in the animal sacrifices. Over and over and over and over and over again, there were sacrifices made for the atonement. Hebrew writer is saying that it is insufficient. It is insufficient. But we get to verse number 12. The Hebrew writer said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. I read there. I can see. I hear the writer saying that this one man's sacrifice is just as sufficient for sins as the blood of bulls and goats was insufficient. They were unable to, but this blood of this man's sacrifice is more than sufficient for sins. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. I can't help but read this verse without thinking of John MacArthur. Now, maybe you don't like me mentioning him, but, you know, he's gone on now. And I've read a lot of comments about John MacArthur this in recent days and recent weeks. But probably the one that stood out the most was by Dr. Paul Kaufman, as he extolled the virtues and the grace of John MacArthur, and still mentioned that, you know, the doctrinal differences, but I can't help but picture think about John MacArthur when I read this verse. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Made him to be sin for us. Would you allow me this morning to change that word us to me? And then you say it that way as well, making it personal, not just in the collective sense, but making it personal, that God made him, Jesus, sin for me. He made him. Jesus did no sin. He did not commit sin. It tells us that. Who knew no sin? But he made him, literally made him sin for me. Why? So that we would find the reality of the sufficiency of that sacrifice. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's that word sufficiency in the overtone of the phrase. The word sufficiency is found in that verse as well. That we might be made, we were lost in sin. But through the sufficiency of the sacrifice of Calvary, Jesus' blood shed on Calvary, we can be made righteousness, the righteousness of God in him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the last part of that. For this purpose the Son of Man, or the Son of God, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see, there's sufficiency. Efficiency in the blood of Jesus Christ to not just cover the works of the devil, but to destroy the works of the devil. Does the verse come to your mind about right now that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think? How about John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17? You know those? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There we find that overtone of the word sufficiency in that verse as well. Because we're talking about not just one person, not just your sin, not just my sin, not just the most despicable sinner that you know, but the entirety of the world. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. Did you hear that? Is sufficient to cover every man, every woman, every child's sin. Let me summarize it this way. When we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ being sufficient, I mean that the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross is sufficient or enough for any sinner's sin, any kind of sin, any category of sin, any color of sin, capital letters, any sin. Sufficient. It's enough. Not just barely, but it is enough. Now let's switch over and look at the word efficacy. I really like this efficacy. Or efficacious. I love that word. You say, well, why is it so important that we look at the word efficacious? Efficacious is having the power to produce a desired effect. John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Let's go back up to verse 16, though. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient, but it only becomes effective when the sinner repents. It's there for the entirety of the world, for every sinner and every sin of the sinner. It's there as sufficient for the entirety of the world, but it only becomes effective. I can live my entire life. You can live your entire life. People live their entire life under the sufficiency of God's grace without ever receiving the effectiveness of God's grace. While we don't find the word efficacy or efficacious in the King James translation, as a matter of fact, I don't know that you find them in any of the scriptural translations, but it's in the overtone, because we find that it becomes fully effective when the person, the sinner, responds to the call of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross with his arms outstretched, saying, I love the entire world, and if you come unto me, you will not perish. John chapter 1, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, it became effective to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Did you hear the word efficacy in that verse? I hear it in there. To them gave he power. To them he made it effective. To them it was efficient. To them is the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ, through the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ made available, and we can receive it. That means... the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross is efficacious, or it's effective for any sinner's sin when that sinner comes to the cross of Christ and bows in repentance and receives the gift of grace, of his grace and his forgiveness. I think the big difference here, the big separating factor, is that not only is the blood of Jesus Christ sufficient for everybody, but it becomes effective. Not everybody's going to heaven just because Jesus died on the cross. Not everybody's going to heaven just because somebody believes that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, but that they have received that sacrifice as their sacrifice, their atoning sacrifice for sins. They have received it, and it's effective. It's efficacious. Just picture in your mind the most despicable sinner. Maybe you're looking at yourself in the mirror when you say that. I can. I can see that. Oh no, I haven't done what somebody else has done, but there go I, but by the grace of God. And when I look at that, the despicableness of a sinner, and realize that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient, and it's also efficacious when I come to Him. Sufficiency and efficacy. It's sufficient and it's efficacious. The blood of Jesus Christ. If you go to hell, it'll be because, not because of the insufficiency of the blood, but it'll be because you didn't allow it to be effective. You didn't allow it to be effective through repentance and a turning away from sin. Would you stand with me this morning? Sufficient and effective. Praise God. You and I can be the recipient of that effective blood of Jesus Christ. Be made new in Christ, a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Lord bless you. I'll be back again for the evening service. And I don't know that anybody is here prepared for youth service. Failed to mention that earlier. So unless somebody tells me quickly that you're prepared, we will not be having youth service. I think, we're not even going to have children. Is anybody prepared for children's service tonight? You are. Okay, so we are having children's service tonight. So keep that in mind. Amen. Brother Herb, would you dismiss us in prayer?